shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Arise and the glory of his resurrection share. When his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Setting sun, let us talk of all his wondrous loving care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
For this good family, we express our gratitude and thanks to you for your presence today. It means an awful lot to a family in a time of sorrow to have others who blend with them at a time like this, to face a time of uncertainty because we do not know exactly what life will bring forth for us in the next few days of time or few weeks of time, but it always is necessary to have good friends around us. And good friends at a time like this is just a good beginning. We're gathered today for a memorial service, a loving tribute to Brenda Jane Grimsley Howe, 76 years of age, who passed away peacefully on May the 25th, 2021, at her home in Piperton, Tennessee, and surrounded by her loving family as well. She was under the care of hospice since April 15th, 2021. She was born at home in Ruval, Mississippi, to Ogle Harrell and Sarah Elizabeth Ray Grimsley on July the 27th, 1944. Brenda was Mississippi Delta born and raised or reared, and was surrounded by a ton of aunts, uncles, and cousins. She leaves behind, to cherish her memory, her husband, Johnny, of 57 years, and children, Gwen or Gwendolyn, and John Chauncey Howe, Jr., and wife, Julie of Bartlett, and grandchildren, Allison Nicole Wheeler and Michael David Wheeler. Preceded in death by her parents and brother, Michael Earl Grimsley, she will be laid to rest later today at 3 p.m. at Learton Cemetery, west of Ruval, Mississippi. I'm Robert Rawson. I have been knowing her and family since 1966. And for 10 years I was there at Ruval in preaching the gospel in that way, separated over a two-year period of time going to Oklahoma and then back to Ruval. Ruval is one of only four congregations I have worked with since 1965. So it's been a blessing to work with brethren far and wide and to remember these people who have been wonderful family members for me through the years. Grateful that they are and have been that way. Let's enjoy this selection of songs that have been done. This is song number 2. There are many methods used to refer to someone's life during a time like this. But I've chosen today to utilize the initials of her name. The B, the J, the G, and the H. First off, I want to recognize some things about her life under the word busy. She was a busy, busy person. Ever since I first knew her, she was busy. She was busy in her work and busy in her labor, busy in her marriage, busy in everything about life, rearing children. And busy was her whole middle name. Brenda Busy was her name. She graduated from Rural High School and then from Mississippi Delta Junior College with a major in home economics. Now that's to say the least. She was drum major and leader of the band, and was in several beauty competitions. It was at Mississippi Delta Junior College that Brenda Grinsley and John Howe first met. Brenda always called him Johnny, and he was a sophomore and she a freshman. According to Johnny, Brenda sought him out. However, there's a question about that. Brenda had first met Johnny's brother, Richard, when they were maid of honor and best man in a friend's wedding. And Richard told Brenda, his little brother, she needed to go and meet and be around because he was going to be in college there as well. at Mississippi Delta. And so they met one another, and as it is said often in history, the rest is history. She perfected sewing and cooking with her major that she had already learned, actually, from her mother and grandmothers. The first thing she made Johnny was a necktie. And Brenda and Johnny spent a lot of time together at Mississippi Delta, especially at a canteen after Johnny's football practices. At every football game, Brenda was leader at a van, and Johnny was playing football. Shortly afterwards, they were engaged and married on December the 22nd, 1963, 2 years before I met them and knew them from Ruble. During a record-breaking snowstorm, this wedding took place, and it was a record-breaking thing there in Mississippi. For their honeymoon, they tried to make it to Memphis, but only got so far north as Clarksdale. And because it was too much snow there, they headed south, and it was snowing all the way to New Orleans, so they honeymooned around the Delta in that time. Johnny had joined the military and the army, and when they were first married, they were stationed in Colorado Springs. They lived in Pikes Peak Avenue, which was in sight of Pikes Peak itself. What a day and time. When Johnny was stationed in Germany, they lived in Heidelberg, Germany. They rented a second floor of a German family house, and the German family lived on the first floor, and their business was a tailor shop in the basement. The German man was so impressed with Brenda's sewing skills that he asked her to teach him to make ladies' dresses at the process of it, and she could not only do it, but she could teach him how to sew, how the seamstress work to be done. While in Germany, Brenda and Johnny traveled much in Europe. She loved it. And as they moved all over, as money would allow, they kept most countries such as Switzerland, Venice, Rome, and Brenda loved talking about that. And also she and Johnny climbed to the top of the Leaning Tower of Pisa and the Eiffel Tower as well. They saw lots of beautiful churches and coliseums, and she even went to the Vatican herself. Brenda worked as a firearms register for the Army personnel and government employees and knew a lot about all firearms. Their first child, Gwen, was born during their stay in Germany. As I mentioned, she was a busy person. You can see all the things with which she was involved. Johnny was discharged from the Army, and the family moved to Indianapolis, Indiana. In Indianapolis, they found a great church group, friends, and Brenda joined Sweet Adelines, a group of women who loved to sing, and particularly Ladies Barbershop Harmony was her part of it. What a deal she was. Moving later to Memphis, they attended the Wooddale Church of Christ, and Brenda joined the Sweet Adelines in Memphis. She first sang soprano, but after a thyroid surgery, she sang alto and even sang some bass. She sang all around Memphis in large groups and in quartets, giving larger concerts and singing in old folks' homes and in other events throughout the Memphis area. And John Jr. was their second child and born here in Memphis. Brenda was a loving mother to Gwen and to John, and I can attest to that as she came to visit there in Ruble and telling us about their growth and their development and what they did and what they didn't do and what they would do in the future. She had confidence in you, John. She had confidence in you, Gwen, as to what you would succeed to do, and you have done that. One year, she entered three styles of cakes in the Mid-South Fair. She won first place in all the cake styles and best of the show in the deer head sculptor. Brenda taught cake decorating for years at Mary Carter's paint store in Memphis, and she even made and sold her cakes to the public. Miss Brenda continued sewing and was an excellent seamstress. She made all her clothes and made most of Gwen's clothes, made most of John Jr.'s shirts, and a lot of clothes for her grandchildren. She even sewed for the public sometimes, and Brenda's sewing skills included quilting. And she hand-stitched her quilts, she collected quilting books, she did assorted knitting and work. In church groups, knitting caps for newborns in the area hospitals, which was at that day and time a new kind of thing to protect the newborns in the hospital. Family time included lots of camping on weekends and sailing. She often camped with some of their very good friends. She just loved that she joined the Delta Racing Association and spent a lot of weekends in sailboat racing. And Brenda loved being a part of the warm water floating and just hanging out with friends while floating in the water. She also learned to play a card game, which I never got the hang of, bridge. Have you played bridge? You know what I mean. She collected little Kramer pitchers, and her great aunt, Nettie Bell, gave her the first pitcher. And she has collected them ever since, and she displayed them at her home. When Brenda's grandchildren arrived, she kept them for Gwen and Buddy to continue to work, and spoiling them rotten, the note says. And as the grandkids say today, she gave them some coffee in the sugar and made them pancakes shaped like animals and let them drive to the store and back at a very young age, and they loved dearly calling her Grandmommy. Don't you know they did? The family left being behind to cherish their precious memories are these children that are listed here today. What a blessing we have to talk about her life of being a busy kind of a person. But let's talk about Jane. Brenda Jane. She was a joyful person in everything she put her hand to do. She smiled at it. She laughed at the things that took place that were odd in the event that took place. But she was a smiling person all the way. How does a person become a joyful person in life? Well, take the E at the end of Jane, J-A-N-E. She was a person who evaluated what was ahead. Solomon the wise man in the book of Proverbs tells us in Proverbs chapter 27 down at verse 13 how that a prudent person foresees danger ahead and guards or hides himself where the simple pass on and are punished by their travel. She looked ahead in everything she ever did. And because of that, she was overjoyed with the events that took place. When she looked ahead and saw the dangers that were up ahead, evaluation, she knew what to do. She knew what to do in her sewing with y'all in this way. Imagine she tired you. Come here, stand here, turn around, let me measure. And she's measured that shirt, measured that dress, and measured those clothes that she was sewing on by way of their back, so that it would be just right for this year and next year, and maybe the next year after that. She made her sewing that way. She prepared ahead of time. When she got into driving, she was preparing them as a youth to drive and to be people who were in a busy place driving and being safe. And no doubt she also bothered you by saying, stop this speed right here, stop right here, begin to slow right here. And she warned y'all where to turn, what to do. What a wonderful way of life evaluations do for us. And Solomon, no long ago, said that's the case of a prudent individual. Have you ever found yourself getting into trouble because you didn't look ahead and see the dangers of the money being spent or the work being done or the necessary ladder to climb or the necessary thing to fall upon when the ladder came down? Look ahead and be that kind of person. Grimsley. Brenda Jane Grimsley. You would have had to have known the Ray family to have known how close they all have been through the years. You would have to note how many of them of that immediate family are buried at the Learton Cemetery in Ruble, Mississippi. They practically all are buried right there. They wanted to be back toward a place called H. Home. Home meant something to them. In the days gone by of their lives, they were descendants of Herschel and Thera Ray. They had 6 children, Aunt Edna, Aunt Edith, Aunt Sarah, Grandma, Juanita, Uncle John, and Peggy. And they all lived in that immediate area from Clarksdale down to Indianola. They all lived in that area. And some wonderful blessings they had and how much busy work their hands did in their work. I know about Uncle John. Uncle John was a really wonderful friend to me as I moved to Ruble as a 19-year-old young preacher. I had begun work in that particular congregation being told by others that they'll not hire you, you're too young for them. But they hired me and I stayed longer than any of the previous preachers that had been there at Ruble. I love the people there and I love the work that was being done there. We didn't always have an easy time with it. There were some people that were living in sin when I first moved that way. When I discovered that, it didn't cause me to cease preaching the gospel of Christ to them. And as I did the gospel of Christ to them, they were convicted by that and thought they could get rid of me by way of attaching the elders to the job of firing this young preacher. Get him gone. But these people realized truth was truth and right was right and sin could not be tolerated and changes could be made. So the changes he was talking about that the Lord would help them make, they could make. And so it was done. And this family backed me all the way of that work there in Ruble, Mississippi. People changed their minds. They changed their way of life. And I did memorial service after memorial service for even those who were deeply in sin at the beginning of that work in 1966. What a good thing and what good ways to be supported by a family that knew the difference in what you were teaching of the Bible and read from the Scripture, what it said, and how people were living in that day and time. Home. Brother John was a skilled man, as all of them were skilled in their ways. He could walk out on the Eastland plantation as the head engineer of their repair work being done on the tractors and combines later on. He could get out of his truck and walk out to the field edge and listen as a tractor was working out in that field. And when that driver came to the end of that field, he'd motion for him and he knew what to mean. He knew he ought to take that to the shop because it had to be repaired. Danger was going to come. Lack of work was going to be done because something was amiss in hearing that motor run the way it did. Uncle John was that kind of person. One day he got me in a truck. We rode over to Cleveland, Mississippi, went into a parts place there, and he picked up a couple of bolts and a bin that was there. He looked at them and he said, "Oh, these bolts have been misplaced. They don't belong in this particular bin. They belong over here." And he put it there. And I said, "Brother John, how do you know that that doesn't belong there?" And he said, "Oh, by these markings." And for the first time in my life, I noted on the end of that bolt, on the head, were markings 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And the more markings it had, the more dense was the metal in that bolt, the more working it would be. He said, "Now, if I took this one over here that's marked only two marks, and used it to go in the head of this particular combine, it would shear off like a hot knife going through butter. It would not do it if they had a strong." So he got four markings there that day to take out to work in the field. What a good man. And who would enjoy and rejoice but his sister Sarah, with his ability and knowledge that he had. What a blessing we have today as we have this way of life to look to and to remember how she lived, how she practiced her daily walk of life. Would you be a person in life as she in your ways of life? Would you be a person who found yourself looking at her life and being busy with her life? Would you be a person overjoyed with the work that was going on and that you saw the products being done because you had evaluated ahead of time what dangers and what troubles there would be and you avoided them because you knew what to do in preparing that particular thing for wearing of clothes or for the work being done in a garden or wherever the work was being done? That's her ability. Would that be your ability today? Would it be your ability to look at the ways of life by which she found herself going in a way of life and not leaving God out of anything in her daily walk of life, working and praying for God's blessings to be with the things being done, with the marriage, with the rearing of children, with the rearing of grandchildren, with the friendships that she had, and with her family back home. What home meant to her, I have not the words to say. God bless you, everyone, in the memories that you have of Brenda, Jane Wimsley Howe. Personal judgments are things that we cannot make. Many people don't realize Jesus saying what he did about judgment. In John chapter 5 and verse 22, a very short verse in the book of John, John 5:22, he said, "The Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son." Jesus came to earth, lived among mankind, knew the problems and difficulties of mankind, knew the desire to forgive mankind if they would but come to Him. He has been made the judge. I don't have a final judgment to pose with anybody. I don't have a final say to make for anyone. But I have a hope by which she loved the Lord and loved His way. And Jesus is the final judge. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed that a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. We're all headed toward a day of judgment. Will it be the case that in our lives, we would have been busy people, as Solomon said, whatsoever thy hand find to do, that do with all thy might? Would He find us being busy people? Would He find us being people who evaluated the things so that we would be prepared for whatever comes ahead in life? Would we be people who love the cause of God and ways and live by His way and His will? Would we be people who love home to remember us that way in a blessing? Can we pray together? Our kind Father in heaven, we thank Thee so much for Thy love. We thank Thee so much for her life and for her good example that she shared. Thank You for a good family and for everyone of this family that we remember so well for their love for Thee as well. In Jesus' name we humbly pray and amen.
For my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world's hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art. Can take it in, that on the cross.
shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.